This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I'm Sarah Carradine.
And I'm Mari Forth. This is Crime Scene, a true crime review podcast where we get to the heart of how true crime stories are told.
Yes, we do. So just a programming note, everybody, we had planned to bring you our coverage of The Dropout, but to give ourselves and you a little bit more time to watch it and digest it and decide what we think about it, we're going to move that to next week. So we have a very special episode today. We'll open the file. We watched Snapped. Yes, we finally bring you a murder. You've been saying, where's the murder? Where's the murder? How is this true crime without murder? All right, you ghouls.
Here's your murder.
Here's your murder.
Here you go.
Here you go. Stab, stab, shoot, shoot. Kill, kill. Murder. We picked this episode of Snap because, Mari, can you believe it? It is the 500th episode. I managed to find 500 ladies who were very unhappy and resorted to murder, and that was 2 years ago. They've just been two more seasons.
I said, I think they're at 555 now. Apparently, it's way more than 500. Who would have thought?
Exactly. So, if you want to go and find it, and we'll put this in the show notes as well. But if you want to go and find it and watch it, it's season 28, episode 12. It's Dana Flynn. Snapped started in 2004. It's had spin-offs, Snapped Notorious, Snapped Killer Couples, and Snapped She Made Me Do It. She Made Me Do It.
I did not know about the She Made Me Do It one. I don't know. Have I been living under a rock? I did not know about the She Made Me Do It. Snapped Notorious for me, it does nothing for me because it's just like, it's men. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, we covered Jeffrey Dahmer. We covered like Ted Bundy. It's like Snap, but we're going to do the most well-known male serial killers. That's how I always see it.
I think other people have done it better, differently, more creatively. Exactly. I mean, we're not coming to Snap for, you know, genre breaking stuff. We're coming for women who are really pissed off.
Exactly that. Snap Killer Couples, I like it, but it's weird because I'm like, this is kind of just almost every other episode of Snap because they normally involve some lover or something. You know, it doesn't feel like it feels like they try to make it different, but it's not different enough. And then you just add the Snap name to it. So it never connected with me as like regular Snap did. I think none of the spinoffs really connected with me like regular Snap did.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Original Recipe does what it does so well, but it only does what it does. And once it strays outside that, and not that I you know, object to people spreading their wings, but there's a lot of true crime out there, folks, and let's find a lane, Snapped, and stay in it.
And stay in it. Yeah. So, Sarah, I have a question for you. Like, what is your most earliest memory of Snap? Like, what does Snap invoke to you when you think of it as a series?
Well, I must say I'm a recent Snapper, probably since the arrival of Miss Rona, and we looked for things. It's curious. In Australia, you can see a random season on Channel 9, one of the free Affairs, which is season 24. But if you want a lot of Snapped, and if you like Snapped, you want a lot of it, you can get that on HeyU, H-A-Y-U, one of the streaming services here. They have seasons 11 to 30. And I also noticed Oxygen also has 11 to 30 as well. It's quite hard to find those earlier seasons. So mine was, what is it? Women, okay, that'll be interesting. How are they going to present it? And I was surprised. I have to say, I was expecting Wives with Knives, and it's better, not better made. I don't really want to make a value judgment. It's more considered, let's say. I think they do a really good job. The length of the episodes varies wildly. They can be 45 minutes long. They can be an hour and 5 minutes long. And if you add ads in there, it can be a bit of a sit. But I like having this huge back catalogue of episodes, and you don't feel like you have to start at the first season and plonk your way through. You just look at the little one-line description underneath the episode, and when you go, oh, yes, I'd like to watch that, then you click on, and 45 minutes later you have, you know, seen a little bit of humanity. Oh, well, what about you? What snapped for you?
So me and Snap, this will probably sound so weird, but we go way back. You know, I remember watching those, or like the original series, like around 2014. I was only like 15 years old, but like I loved Snap. It was probably one of the first like episodic, like real actual murder shows that I used to watch. Like up until then, I was watching like your Law and Orders, your CSIs. Like we were talking about like the fictional murder, and that's what really, you know, jumped me into like forensic science and stuff like that. But it was Snap that brought me like into that, the like the docuseries of murder. And then I think after I discovered Snap, that's when I discovered ID Discovery, which, you know, is just off to the races. Once any of us like murderinos, if you're an MFM fan, any of us true crime fans, like that, you know, that's the jumping point, you know, ID, because it has something for everybody. But Snap definitely was one of the, I'm pretty sure it was the first of the style that I watched. Like, and then of course after that it was stuff like, you know, Forensic Files and you know. So, and I would remember like here in the States, Snap would come on Oxygen. Oxygen used to be a channel about like women. It was supposed to be women empowerment. It was like a channel for women empowerment. But it makes no sense.
Well, to some extent, Snapped, you know, what could be more powerful than, but, you know, I gave you life, I can take it away.
Sarah, their two main properties on Oxygen at that time was Snapped and Bad Girls Club. Are you familiar with Bad Girls Club?
I'm not, but I feel like I want to be. I'm going to write that down.
Yes.
Girls Club.
Bad Girls Club is probably as far away from women empowerment. Sorry to people who love Bad Girls Club. I am a fan, but it was basically, we're going to put women in a house. We're going to say that they're there to heal themselves and get to know each other and try and make themselves better. But all they really did was just fight. Like, it was one of the first shows, like reality TV shows, where they put people in a house in order for them to fight. Like when you get a chance, look it up. And all of the listeners out there are probably like just laughing, because Bad Girls Club, I remember watching the first two seasons, and I remember when that was when they used to pretend like the girls would show up and they're like, my name is Jessie, and you know, I'm used to going out and partying, and you know, I need a better life for me, and you know, they might have a child or not, you know, I just want to do better, so I'm here at Bad Girls Club to try and get some tools to do better in life. And the first two seasons, they really seem to like to try to kind of get them to be better. But no, when you put that many women in a house who are in there because, you know, they don't have the best self-control, they would fight. And then by the like third or fourth season, they would just like let them fight. And then by the time I think it stopped around season 12 or 13, I don't know, the listeners might know. By the time it stopped around that time, people were just going in the house to fight people. Like it was just incredible television, and for it to come on Oxygen, where it's like, oh, this is women empowerment, and the Oxygen Network was just so funny to me because that was the only thing I remember. I remember Bad Girls Club, I remember Snap, and then I feel like it was like Femme Nikita or something, or Silk Stockings on it too at night, but that was it. Let us know if you have any fond memories of the early Oxygen Network. But I bring up the early Oxygen Network because Oxygen within the past, I think it was within the past 5 years or so, have rebranded themselves. They are now a true crime channel. But they call themselves True Crime for Women, which is really interesting because, you know, and that's when they came out with Snap, Snap Notorious, Snap Killer Couples. I think they run some of the Datelines on there, Dateline on Oxygen and stuff like that. And now they brand themselves as True Crime for Women. And it's just like, it's been a funny niche to try and watch them kind of pivot to. And it's, I'm still kind of confused how you just kind of narrowly say this is true crime, but for women.
It's very broad because, you know, women are the greater consumers of true crime. So true crime for women, in other words, true crime.
Yeah. But, you know. But they tried it.
Yeah, but look, but try. And as I said, I'm very happy for people to reinvent. Just not Snap. Snap, please stay exactly as you are, 555 mm-hmm. episodes into your run. For me, I found as I was picking and choosing that the cases I knew absolutely nothing about, like the one we're going to talk about today, were mm-hmm. fascinating. I got everything I needed in my 45 minutes or my 60 minutes, and I was really happy. And right. the cases I did know about, like Betty Broderick and mm-hmm. Jodi Arias and those kind yeah. of ones, I found dissatisfying. Dissatisfying? Yes. Yeah, dissatisfying mm-hmm. is the right word. And that's my fault, not Oxygen's, in that I know a lot about the known cases. Well, when I say a lot, I have consumed, you know, true crime properties for years and years, books, podcasts, newspaper articles, television shows, and what have you. So when I come in snapped to a case that I know, which I was mm-hmm. in the beginning starting to do, oh, Jodi Arias, let me go and look at that. I thought, it's sort of, no. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation, if you are someone who knows lots and lots about true crime, is to pick cases you've never heard of, because you're going to get exactly what you need and you're going to be totally satisfied. You may do a little bit of side googling, because I always do my side googling afterwards. if a show is good enough to hold my attention, I side goog afterwards. If it's not good enough to hold my attention, I side goog during. But I find during. With Snapped, mm-hmm. I do actually, it's after actually, because they do, the pace is a little stately, but mm-hmm. That can be nice. So you just go into the rhythm of it. And they do that thing where at every ad break, when we come back, we're going to show you this. And then they come back from the ad break and they say, just ahead, we're going to show you this. It's like, exactly. Yeah, I was actually watching, but then it's not, it's for if you got up and made a cup of tea, or if you're, you know, as we said in our first episode with the great Sarah D. Bunting, if you're, you know, wandering around the house with a dusting cloth in your hand, something I never do, but I believe people do, then it's the perfect show to be on, because they take you by the hand very much. They're not requiring a lot of mental engagement from you. What do yes. you think?
No, I completely agree. And that's what, like I was saying, like Snapped would come on every Sunday on Oxygen. It would just be, I used to know it'd be Snap Sunday. And that's what I would do if whenever it was Sunday, and I was like cleaning up or something like that, I would throw on Snapped, clean up, fold laundry, fall asleep. Like I would fall asleep to Snap. I, you know, after rewatching the episode we're going to talk about now, I let it keep playing and I fell asleep again. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why. It's like a weird and oddly weird comfort show for me, because I at any point I'll just turn it on and be like, have I watched this one? Nope. Okay, cool. Like, even if I have watched this one, okay, cool. You know, I love how it's just that accessible. I love anything that you'll just throw on for the whole day. I'm a sucker for a South Park marathon or a Law and Order SVU marathon, mm-hmm. you know? But that would be it. It was Snap Sunday. And I was just like, okay, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Turn Snapped on, wait until something else I actually want to watch comes on. turn back to Snap until you know something else comes on. So it is kind of like a comfort blanket type show for me. And I think that's because I love the direction. The early seasons, I was telling you, Sarah, has this the narrator of the early seasons. I looked her name up. Of course, I may have accidentally hit that tab down and I'll find it a little later. But her voice is just so, it was so good. It was just like so soothing yet direct, like, and so like mischievous. She's like, but sometimes, you know, she would have something up her sleeve. But no, does this housewife have something up her sleeve? It was just, I just love that lady's voice. And so I can say like now, and I think I said it in one of our other episodes, like once the main narrator left, in 2016, it fell off for me. I really stopped, you know, watching Snap as much as I did, because her voice was just so synonymous with the show that when they traded her out for a different narrator, I was like, what is this? And I don't know if they really truly did upgrade it and changed it around a little bit more, but I was like, this isn't Snap. So I stopped watching it, you know? So rewatching this episode, which is in the newer episodes, of course, because it's the 500th episode, it feels like, I don't know if this is the same narrator who took over 6 years ago, but this narrator in this 500th episode felt like it was a little bit closer to the original narrator. Does that make sense?
Well, and I was like, okay. She has a very light teasing touch, I think. And I mean, obviously the narration is written for her, but she makes the most of it, not in a scenery chewing way, but in a very tempting way. She says, you know, come and watch we're going to have an ad, but you'll really want to see what we're going to do next. And I liked her for that. And I liked that it was a woman's voice, of course. We need more women's voices. And I thought that she did a terrific job, because I don't have that attachment to the early
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you mentioned Law and Order. It's really interesting. If you are a Law and Order watcher, which I certainly am, for years and years, years and years, I always remember watching it. It's like I grew up on it somehow. I can't have, because I was quite old when it started. But it's interesting then going into, you know, picking and choosing these Snapped episodes as I went along over the last couple of years. And some of them I thought, have I somehow watched this before? And then I realize it's a rip from the headlines that that Law and Order's done. So I really like that sort of confluence of personal, you know, crossover of my interests.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the Snap episodes that like really sat with me were when they tried to stray away from their format a little bit. Like when we were trying to pick out which episode we wanted to do, there is an episode for me that stood out that I remembered, like I vaguely remembered. I haven't watched it in forever, but it was the Sarah Brady episode of Snapped. It's season 6. Unfortunately, season 6, Sarah pointed out, we could not find it anywhere in order to tell you guys to be able to stream it. But it was a Sarah Brady episode, and Sarah Brady, she was a pregnant woman who had answered like an ad for like baby clothes. Like some woman said she was giving away baby clothes, and Sarah Brady answered the ad and she went over to the woman's house. And when she went over to the woman's house, the woman attacked her and tried to cut her baby out of her. But yeah, unlike in this story, this was one of those stories. The reason why it sat with me, other than also having a child, I've had a child and it just makes me, you know, but this story has had this type of like kidnapping murder has happened so many times. Like there are a lot of cases like this where other women will murder a woman who's pregnant and like cut out the baby and then try and raise them. So when I was watching it, I think I thought it was one of those cases, because 9 times out of 10 in those cases, the woman who attacks the pregnant woman wins and the pregnant woman ends up dead and their baby is snatched. So when I was watching the Sarah Brady episode, I was like, okay, this is interesting. Why are we, okay, her name is on the episode, okay, but I think she's about to get attacked. So I was like, you know what I'm saying? And so she gets in the episode, she gets attacked, but she fights off her killer and she actually kills the woman. And so Snap goes at it like, was it self-defense? Now Sarah has to prove to everybody that this was an act of self-defense, because they're trying to figure out, the police come to the scene and they're like, why is there a dead woman here? No, what's going on? Sarah herself, if I remember correctly, had like a really bad wound as well. And it was just one of those episodes that really sat with me, because I thought it was a really good flip on it, in a sense, because Sarah Brady's name is on the card, but she's technically, out of all the women that they've showcased, she's a victim. She's not an active murderer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I perceived her as the victim, because she was the one who had to fight off her attacker and save her life, you know? And I thought that was such a really good episode. And I really wish we could have like come on here and really like delved into it. And I wish I could remember more of the details of it, but some of those really early ones are just really like treasures that I really liked.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. I was Googling here, there and everywhere saying, you know, what are the best, you know, most watched, the best, the craziest, the whatever Snapped episodes. And season six and season seven must have been absolute gems, because almost all of them come from those two. And certainly the case that you mentioned to me. And I do like that each episode is titled with the woman who is accused of the murder. Mm-hmm. Let's say, and they do say, you know, women accused of the murder. It seems like a lot of them, almost all of them, actually did it. But so I like the simplicity of that. I mean, we do want to talk about victim centering, but I think in this case, naming the ladies who snapped is the way to go. But yes, I was very interested in that episode when you told me briefly about it, because I find the baby stealing, baby desire, baby fever that people have. I must have a baby. How will I have a baby? I can have sex to have a baby, I can do IVF, I can do sperm donor, or I can go and take someone else's baby out of a nursery in a hospital, or I can go to the source, farm fresh, single origin, I can actually take it from the womb, which is the most extreme and extraordinary. Well, you know.
So extreme, yeah.
Yeah, so keep your ears peeled, everybody, for coming to you soon. Mari and Sarah talk about snatching babies. I just think there's stuff to
there's
be
so
mined
many.
There. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So yeah. I was looking, the name of the original Snap narrator is Sharon Martin, and she went on to be like a producer of the show. She was a producer of the show too, before she, I don't know why she stepped away in 2016, but
maybe she just snapped.
I know.
Maybe she'd had
I was trying to find like who the new narrator is, but I cannot find it. I don't know. She's not posted in the credits. And I guess another thing to point out is Snap used to not have too many recreations like in the early seasons, but the latest seasons have like a lot of recreation now.
Yeah, I was very interested in we are, you know, the recreations police, if I may. So we'll be telling you what we think about the recreations in Snapped. And just before we dive, the very name itself, genius, Snapped. It's perfect.
Snapped, yeah.
You understand exactly what it is. It has a great sound. It's got the P's in it. It's one word. It's sharp. And we have all snapped. There may be some of our listeners who've never snapped. I've never snapped and killed somebody.
But, I know. You know
we can perhaps feel that, you know, flames up the side of my face that precedes the snap. So yeah
and they always and it's so funny, because it's like somebody each episode has to say it. They're like, I have no idea why she did it. It was just like she snapped. Like it's like a requirement. Like so, like one of the people who's talking directly to camera just has to feel like they have to say it. It's always so funny to me. Do you think?
Sorry, just while we're here. So Sharon Martin was the narrator 2005 to 2016. Yeah. And that she was replaced by Jodie Flader, F-L-A-D-E-R, from 2018 to the present. So,
yeah. Okay, so it is this. Wait, you said 2018 to the present.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So there's a little 2-year gap there.
So there's a 2-year gap. I think that middle. I think that middle narrator lady didn't work out.
They gave her the boot. They said, "Get out of here."
Get out of here. Do you think naming the episode after the woman who snapped gives away the crime at all? Because, I mean, sometimes they try and go into some of the cases like, oh, who did it? Well, it's Dana Flynn, clearly.
Or did she? Well, Dana Flynn says she's innocent, so.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we're going to discuss the episode now in detail. So this is your spoiler alert. We're going to discuss details of the case now. So if you don't want to hear that, just whiz forward to our recommendations and our magnifying glasses, and we will put that timestamp in the show notes.
Yep.
Okay, that was your spoiler warning. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. So, yeah. What did you think of this crime here?
Well, it was, it's not a complex crime. So.
Right. The crime itself.
The crime itself. So Randy Sheridan is found dead. This is December 1992 in Kansas. He's found dead on the side of the road, shotgunned to death. And his ex-partner, with whom he was having a custody struggle, is eventually charged and convicted of the crime and sentenced to life in prison. So it's very straightforward. It's not like a bizarre crime, the crime itself. You just get a gun and you shoot someone. Right. Please don't do that, everybody. It's not a good idea. Please don't. not allegedly. She's been convicted, so we don't have to say allegedly. She did do it according to the law. So that's straightforward. But what I found was fascinating was a couple of things, the involvement of a preacher who decided it was God's will that Randy die. And he sounds like a real piece of work. He served time in jail as well. And so that side of it. But also a question that I didn't really realize that I had in my mind. You know, in Law and Order, there's the murder, then they find the suspect, and then next week they're in court. That doesn't quite happen in real life. I know that there are gaps. And in this case, it was 4 years. And we do get this really brief but very good explanation from one of the talking heads, the county attorney, Chris Briggs, and he says, you may know who did it, but it takes a really long time to build a case because you don't want to charge them and bring them to court before the case can stand up in court. So that was it for me, a very interesting thing. Of course, that's why it took them 4 years. Well, what did you think about the case itself before we get on to how it was shown?
Yeah, it was like, so... Like I know we said we didn't want to go over like all of the, it's like the web of all of the people involved.
Yeah, but let's do that.
Even that was kind of more interesting, only because like it. So Randy, who was murdered, right? He was married to a woman named Judy, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, Judy.
While he was married to Judy, he had an affair with Dana. This is back in the day. When he had an affair with Dana, that's how they had their daughter.
Ashley.
Mm-hmm. But then after they had Ashley, after him and Dana, I don't even know if they were really together, he went back to Judy. And so Randy and Judy had their own child. And meanwhile, she married a guy named Steve Flynn. Yes. And then Dana and Steve Flynn had their own son. So the only reason why these people were still in each other's lives was because they shared their daughter, Ashley, in common.
And very amicably. This was the thing that was intriguing, because when she was pregnant, he said, yes, I am the father, I take responsibility. And he supported her and he was in Ashley's life. He wasn't with Judy anymore, but he never moved in with nor married Dana. And from what we are told, it was extremely amicable. He would, you know, have time with Ashley. They'd have time together as a family, and he supported her. So so far so good.
Until Jerry Rollins enters the picture, because I feel like
sorry, I'm mouthing a very bad word, because although our guest Sarah D. Bunting actually said it out loud on our podcast, I am not going to do that.
The funny thing is, you saying that is because there's a wrestler named Seth Freakin' Rollins, and mm-hmm. 2 years ago he actually had like a cult leader wrestling gimmick. So when I saw this, I was kind of like,
oh,
laughing.
Wow.
He did. He used to call himself the Monday Night Messiah. Like, it was insane. But yeah. So that's where the story gets kind of shifty, because they were all fine. They were co-parenting. They're all great, because at this point, Dana and Steve are not together either. And so Dana's whole family, her mom, her brother, they go to the Fountain of Life Church, where Jerry Rollins, the pastor, is preaching this. Judy, Randy's wife, says it sounded like it was a cult. It was a Pentecostal style church. It sounded very culty. And because of this, Jerry Rollins, the pastor, was basically trying to get Dana to, she was restricting Randy's access to Ashley, and she was actually restricting Steve's access to their son as well. So Dana started having to go into custody conflicts with both of her children's fathers, to the point where Randy and Steve were actually becoming friends because they had to deal with Dana. And they both feel like it was because of this pastor. And then there were, you know, false claims of maybe child molestation that Dana was trying to get her kids to admit to. Like, and then also, I think, Sarah, you brought it up, but at one point, Jerry Rollins, the pastor, is like in his church preaching about how Randy deserves to die. They said like every other Sunday, he's preaching.
It's a prophecy from God, a prophecy from God that one particular man should die. And what's intriguing is throughout the episode, and then of course it comes to fruition at the end, is Michael is with us. Michael is Dana's brother. I'm just looking for his surname, Dreeling. Michael Dreeling is with us. He was a young man of 20 at the time. He was also involved in the church, and he is not a stupid man, Michael, as we hear from him today, but he himself says it was like a cult. And of course, one of the things that you do if you are a cult leader, here you go, cult leader 101, is you get your cultists to break contact with anyone outside the cult. So, yeah, the restricted access that you're referring to, Murray, is what happens, which is why, you know, interestingly, Steve and Randy become friends. And as Judy, Randy's wife, the dead man's wife, mother of his daughter, laments at the end, you know, the little girls were growing up, they were half-sisters, they would see each other, and that's a relationship that they've now both not had for 27 years. I mean, we don't know whether there has been contact or not.
Right.
So this Jerry Rollins is a piece of work. Enter the MVP of the episode, as far as I'm concerned, Jerry Rollins' wife, Leanne. Now, Leanne is the queen of snooping and the queen of eavesdropping and the queen of walking through doors after only knocking briefly. So when Dana goes to the church, has left her husband, Jerry Rollins and his wife Leanne invite her to live in their home. She's a young woman, sort of single mother, as it were, with these two children. They invite her into the home. Super snooper Leanne finds three things. One, she finds a receipt from Adam and Eve, which delicate readers will not know is a adult sexual toy supplier.
She finds supplier. A receipt, yeah, there
from,
you go.
supplier. Yeah, I got there.
I was thinking with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting how the different talking heads try to not say sex toy during this program. But for that alone, it's worth watching. But so the recipient of the sex toy was Dana, but the credit card used to buy the sex toy was Jerry Rollins. So she takes this receipt, photocopies it, and flyers the neighborhood with it. Oh, Leanne, you're a woman after my own heart. The other two things that she does is she is listening at the door when Jerry Rollins is talking to young Ashley. They have, to her ear, a very normal conversation. Jerry comes out of that conversation and says, Ashley just told me that Randy's sexually molesting her. And Leanne is with us to say, that is not what she said. She didn't say anything like it. And the third thing that she does just before she leaves her husband is she gets up in the morning. He's not there. She walks around the house. Where could he be? Where could he be? She finally ends up at Dana's door, knocks and walks in. Jerry's hastily putting clothes on and says, it's not what you think. We were praying.
Right, because at this point, Dana Flynn is living with him, you know, because she has nobody else to live with, apparently. And it's just so normal to be, like, praying with somebody half-clothed in the middle of the night. Can you imagine being a parishioner at that church? It's like we come here every Sunday, and all the priest talks about is a Randy guy. Who's Randy? Talk about Jesus, like, you know? And it's like, what is this pamphlet? Sex toys? What is happening? Like, can you imagine being a parishioner there? Like,
well,
what is going on?
To jump to the end, Rollins serves 4 months in jail as an accessory. He puts in an Alford plea, which you know, again, our true crime listeners will know, but just in case you don't, it's a plea where you say, "I'm not saying I'm guilty."
Right.
But what I recognize is that you, the state, have a strong enough case where it is likely that I will be convicted of this crime. So let's just save everybody the trouble. Give me a custodial sentence. But I never said I did it. It's an interesting plea, and it's often used, unfortunately, as a weapon against people who've been wrongfully convicted and have maintained their innocence for years and years and years and years. And finally, the state says, you know what, why don't you just put in an Alford plea, which means that you can never clear your name, even though technically you were never found guilty. Obviously, the implication is that you are. But here, Jerry Rollins served 4 months and then went back to his church. And his parishioners.
Must be a cult, because
must have been a very charismatic man.
Yeah. Very weird. So with the murder, the only way that they were able to build a case against Dana was, I remember 2 years after the murder, somebody said that they saw her washing her car at a car wash, because we skipped over this part. She washed it twice. She went through twice. So they found that quite, like, weird. But it was because the forensics investigators, the coroner, determined that when Randy was shot, he was shot from a moving vehicle. Like, the vehicle was moving as it was shooting him. So with that knowledge, they knew that there had to be one person who was the shooter and one person who was driving. And then, of course, they started checking everybody's alibis, and Dana's alibi and her brother Michael's alibi were kind of conflicting for each other. So that's when they had the first inkling, like, we think we know who did it, but now we got to build the case. And then that's when they found about the car wash, and they just slowly started trying to build the case from there.
Yeah, no, beautifully put. It's complex, but both you and the show does a really good job of describing it. They charge, they think Michael was the shooter. There were 5 shots, 3 from a moving car and 2 point blank, which is just so ugly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At one point, one of the talking heads is an ex news anchor, and he says, oh, Randy was out jogging and he just didn't know what hit him. I think he did know. He was shot 3 times in the torso and legs and was crawling when the final 2 shots at point blank range were delivered. So the state's case, so Dana says she is completely innocent and had absolutely nothing to do with it. The state's case was that Michael shot the 5 shots and that Dana was driving. But Michael now, 27 years later, mm-hmm. out of prison, very interesting just to listen to him talk. He is not trying to get out of anything. He's not trying to what is he trying to do? He says, I can't take it back, but perhaps knowledge is going to help people. He says mm-hmm. he shot 3 times from the moving car. The car stopped and Dana told him to finish Randy. He wouldn't do it, so she took the shotgun and she finished with the 2 shots. So that is now what he's saying. We have mm-hmm. no reason to disbelieve him. He's been in jail for 27 years, you know. So, and she's in jail. So it's not like anything he can say is going to change any of those outcomes. Right. And throughout, we've been hearing from Judy and somewhat from his brother, Rob. And they both have the final word. They have very different attitudes to Michael now, you know, telling the story. Judy is very grateful, is a little bit too strong, but she's very pleased that Michael is showing remorse and that he has told the truth, and she feels that's something. And Rob doesn't care what any of them say. They can all go to hell because he had looked forward to growing old with his brother.
That's so sad. Yeah, and that's true. I do feel for them. And this was one where, like, Michael, I think he did seem very remorseful in his interview, but you just don't know anybody's heart. But this is what Snap does really well. We got nothing from Dana in this whole episode, really. And if you really stop and think about it, she kind of didn't feel like a main character in this episode. Snap is notorious for bringing on the women who killed to talk about it. Like, they, a good portion of the episodes had the women whose names are the titles talking about why they did it, you know? So not hearing from Dana in this one, and then all of the other shenanigans, if that's the appropriate word for it, going surrounding the murder and why it happened, she kind of plays an afterthought, if you will, to this particular crime in this particular episode. So I found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is insightful, because we get a rather horrifying story from Michael that that there was an earlier, so several days earlier, they were going to ambush Randy at his home, and Randy was home with Judy and their daughter, and Dana told him to kill all of them. But he wouldn't do it. He was a 21 year old man. He talks about, he doesn't use the word indoctrination. He says doctrine, but he means indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And he is simultaneously not trying to wiggle out of his responsibility. He did shoot Randy,
right?
But mm-hmm. also try to expose to us, tell us what it was like to be in the church, a young man, and looking up to this presumably very charismatic preacher, and being told mm-hmm. that a prophecy from God said that Randy must die. And he says, I felt like if I went against Jerry, I was going against God. And when you're someone who has felt like perhaps they don't belong, or there's this idea of the family not being privileged economically, there's a talk about Jerry making them all feel loved and Jerry making them all feel welcome. Another, you know, cult 102, make them all feel loved and bring them in. So while I thought that was a kind of interesting balance, and he has a self-awareness that's very interesting. He says he doesn't say what, but he said he learned a lot in prison. I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. But he's not trying to get rid of the blame, but he's trying to explain the circumstances around it. And as for Dana, she still to this day says that she didn't do it. So it'd be very hard for her to come on. Snapped,
come on. You know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. I think that's why she feels so disconnected from the story. Because, I thought about it as we're talking here. But that's it for the episode itself. Is there anything else we wanted to point out about the episode? Like I said, like the reenactments, the newish reenactments, they're not bad, you know. They just feel a little different than the earlier seasons for me, but it's not necessarily that bad.
I like that there's no dialogue. I like that we see very much the back of people's heads while there's a talking head narrating. It doesn't add that much for me. If you say I went to the phone, you know, I got out of bed and answered the phone, I can see you doing that. I don't actually need a reenactment actor in pajamas to get out of bed and answer a phone. Like I can get there myself, but you know, it's part of the style. I think certainly the later seasons, very well shot, very well edited. The sound is good. I think the selection of certainly of the ones I've seen, the selection of talking heads is generally pretty good. Here we had not only Judy, Randy's wife, and Rob, his brother, but as I said, the former county attorney, one of the county sheriff's lieutenant detectives, Beth Gilmer. She was good value. And then a KBI special agent in charge. I thought, KBI? Is that a typo? Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
Kansas Bureau. Mm-hmm.
And then I thought the news reporter did. I sort of thought at first, like, what are you doing here? But I actually thought he did add that outside eye idea. This is what we were seeing as the story unfolded. So I thought it was a very successful episode. You know, it's not going to blow the doors off, but it is certainly worth a visit, I think.
Yeah. And I think the difference in the later episodes than the earlier ones was Snap used to be all like crime scene pictures, pictures of like the places that actually happened, actual footage. You know, it used to lean more towards that than the recreations. Luckily in this one, the most recreations we got were anything involving the Rollins, like like busting up in the Rollins, you know, his house and stuff like that. But you make a great point. I you know, it's easy digestible true crime. I think that's why it's stayed so long and why it'll continue to be successful. It's just, it's very easy to digest. Everybody can, you know, sit down for 40 minutes to an hour and a half and understand that sometimes people just snap.
Indeed. And they snap from outside influences, lack of privilege, poverty, abuse. I mean, like, there's all sorts of reasons, like no excuses, but I like that they give you the surroundings. And I also like it does happen in other ones as well, but I was struck particularly by this one that both Judy and Rob, 27 years later, Judy, when she talks about hearing that Rob is dead, that Randy is dead, and Rob, when he talks about thinking that they were going to grow old together, they both tear up. Like, this is, these are people whose lives
were
affected then and continue to be affected. And that very moving thing that Judy said about the two girls being sisters, and that she doesn't even know who's raising Ashley. The show tells us Ashley was raised by Dana's sister. So I think they do a very good job. Again, none of this is hammer over the head. It's just there, and you can take that from it. So what would you give this out of 5 magnifying glasses, this episode, and what would you give the series out of 5 magnifying glasses?
I would give this episode, let's say I'll give it a 4, because it did have some twists and turns, in a sense. Like, I really wish they hadn't done at the beginning, like when Michael originally sat down, they're like, now we have some new, never before seen information, and Michael's like, I'm here to tell what really happened. So I was like, okay. But you didn't know who he was. And then once the show came back onto the show proper, and they showed him one time during the first, like, 20 minutes of the show, it was like Michael Driesling, Dana's brother. And I was like, oh, from what he said in the opening and from just seeing his title card here, I'm like, I can deduce what happened. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I mean, you knew what happened with the murder, but the whole twist and turns with the pastor was actually very entertaining. I didn't truly see it coming. So yeah, I'll give it a 4. I cannot knock any Snapped episode. And for Snapped, the series overall, I'll give it an easy 5 microscopes because, again, it's one of my favorite true crime properties. And it is just so easily identifiable because you could say Snapped to anybody. I feel like it's kind of in the lexicon of American culture. I know that. I don't know over there, but like Snapped, people know what, I mean, like, oh, she snapped. Or like you see, you know, people on social media be like, oh, if this happened to me, I'd snap. You know what I'm saying? Like it's one of those things where, you know, it's risen above the actual adjective of it. People know what you mean. Where like, oh, I'll play around with my friends and my friends telling me about their man issues. And our main thing we used to say was like, well, yep, I can already see me in the stand on Snapped, you know? Like, so I think it's very like generational in that way.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm with you. I would have given the episode 3.5 magnifying glasses, were it not for Leanne Rollins, my queen, my snooper. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 there for the episode. not really much to knock. I mean, I agree with you, Mari. I think that we had the Michael involvement telegraphed too early. However, Snapped does know its audience, and someone might have been making a cup of tea or in the other room when the information was given. So I think for our tastes, that's a knock, but for Snapped and Snapped doing what it does, it's fine. So I'm going to give it 4. So they should thank Leanne for that. And as far as the series Snapped, a definite 5. It's an easy 5 magnifying glasses. Snapped knows what it is. It does exactly what it says on the box, and it's the production is so good. I've spoken before. Mm-hmm. sorry, excuse me. I'm getting choked up about how good Snapped is. it is a very faithful show. It's going to surprise you and frighten you with the cases, but not with the actual show itself. The actual show itself is it's a weird word, but it's very comforting. I'm sorry that the early episodes aren't available, but I've still got 555. I would have seen a fraction of those. So it's fantastic to have them to look forward to. And, of course, you've given me an idea for a spin-off from Crime Scene, True Crime Tuesdays. We can do Snapped Sundays.
Right, exactly.
For the next 555 weeks, we can bring you an episode of
Snapped. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the only update I could find on my side googling was that Dana Flynn has been denied parole. So Michael's out. Dana Flynn's been denied parole many times. There was a very strange change.org petition 10 years ago saying she's innocent, let her out. 86 people signed that. So her earliest parole date now was January of this year, but I couldn't find information that she's been released. So I suspect that she's still in prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Normally, you know, they say the main condition of parole is taking responsibility. So she might be in there for a minute. So let's go into our recommendations. We have a listener recommendation this week. Tara, am I saying this right? Tara Sin?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, for the docuseries McMillions on HBO.
Oh, that's absolutely terrific. It's, Tara, thank you for sending us that email. That is a great recommendation. I agree with her. And I would also add, if you watch it and like it, you've got a treat with the podcast called The McMillions Podcast, which is with the two directors there, James Lee Hernandez and Brian Lazarus. They chat to people in the know, talk about the making the show, and also answer listener questions. So great recommendation. Thanks, Tara. And, of course, we do want all your recommendations. Please do send them. What about you, Mari? What recommendations from you today?
So if I'm going to do recommendations within the Snapped lexicon, I would say one of the most chilling episodes that I would say from Snapped that I watched was the one on Erica Siffret. I'm trying to find the episode number and all that. But her name is spelled Erika Siffret. And I literally did that from memory. That's how much that case has sunk in with me. It's a case about a woman and her husband, how they kill a couple while they are on vacation. And one of the reasons why it has actually stuck with me is because that happened here in Maryland, in Ocean City, Maryland. So it was one of those crimes that was really close to home. And it was very senseless.
And we've talked about that idea of proximity, and one of the reasons we watch true crime is almost like a magic against those cases, and especially when it's somewhere that you know, and that it came out of nowhere, as you say. I'll be very interested to watch that. We'll put all these in the show notes, everybody.
And I just looked it up, and it's season 6, episode 11. Of course it is. No.
There was something in the water for season 6 and season 7. They obviously are the best ones. Look, if anyone finds out how to watch seasons 2 to 10, please let us know. All the streaming services bizarrely seem to have season 1 and then season 11 to 30, as we've said.
It's also on Killer Couples, season 11, episode 2 as well.
Okay.
They really just remade it, huh? Like they, they're like, oh, same thing.
Well, yeah, they might have been doing the dishes during this, so we'll give them another one.
Right. How about you, Sarah? What are your recommendations?
Well, I was trying to think of things that are like Snapped, and there are sort of lots to recommend them. I would just say watch Snapped. I've had a great time sort of picking and choosing. As I said before, I just looked at the little line and I just thought what I would be interested in. And if you start an episode and you don't like it, you don't feel bad about jumping out. I mean, they're not bad episodes, but it may be that it doesn't lift your skirt. So I was wanting to recommend Underbelly Vanishing Act. This is the Underbelly series of Australian crimes, and they are docudramas. This is the con artist Melissa Caddick, who we all know and we're absolutely fascinated by. She embezzled, I think it was something like 60 million, 30 or 60 million, one of the ones you get to those millions, who cares, from friends and clients. And then she disappeared, and then her foot showed up washed to shore, and the immediate conspiracy theory was she's not dead. She cut her foot off.
She cut her foot off?
And is now living large with the 30 or 60 million elsewhere. So I was very looking forward to watching this series. But no.
So, what do you mean? No.
I'll let people watch it and then at me with your opinions.
Okay.
We do like on this podcast to have recommendations. So
yes, we do.
I will leave it as I hoped to be able to recommend that.
Oh, speaking of recommendations, we also had some reviews. So let's read some reviews. Yeah, we did. We had some reviews. And if you drop us a review, hopefully you're already subscribed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/crime feed in order to subscribe to the Crime Scene Podcast. And then please leave us a 5-star review and a little note. That's how other people will find us. So we have, oh my God, we have a few. So let's start on that. We'll go with the oldest one first. Yeah, let's take a few minutes to, you know, make ourselves feel good. So we have a 5-star review from Jules Farr, who says the title is Unsolved Mysteries Link. She said, such an entertaining podcast. Much like the Crypt Keeper, Robert Stack haunted my nightmares as a child. I also had a link to the show as a friend of mine was a producer back in the day. Interesting study of a show I believe to be as authentic at the time. Clarity comes through when you get a peek behind the curtain. I look forward to your upcoming content, Mari and Sarah. Thank you, Jules. So
well,
see,
thanks,
I wasn't
Jules.
The only
That's
one
great.
Creeped. Yeah, I wasn't the only one creeped out about by it. And apparently there might be some behind the curtain. So very, very interesting that.
DM us, Jules. DM us.
I know. Yes, give us give it all. Ooh, a friend of the podcast, Sasha Joseph.
Oh.
Yes, she said, Mari and Sarah are able to bring so much information to us in a palatable and easy to follow way. Can't wait to listen to more. Thank you so much, Sasha.
Thanks, Sasha. I hope you followed today, because today was very twisty turny.
I was going to say, I love Sasha and Sarah and the rest of the Dark Walk crew on their Bridgerton podcast, but I'm pretty sure Sarah will plug that a little bit more later. We just have two more reviews. So this is from Shannon Booker. They said, great podcast. Love this new take on a true crime podcast. It is such a great way to explore, discover new shows to quench the thirst for true crime. The hosts and guests are so knowledgeable. Shannon, thank you so much.
Shannon, we hope to quench. It's an unquenchable thirst. You're absolutely right. Those who know, know. Thank you for that.
Right. Exactly. And then finally, from Gina Boo, not listening is the true crime. Love this new podcast. I'm not big in true crime, but now here I am watching and listening. I love the different perspectives and the background information they bring in, plus the show notes. So entertaining and educational, and somehow now creeping me out.
Gina, thank you. And thank you for reviewing our show notes. We do take time to craft them. So that's very kind of you. I'm sorry that we've brought you into this crazy world of true crime, but welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yes. Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. That just makes you feel so great, because again, we never know. We can be just yelling into the void here. So we really appreciate not only your feedback and your ratings, because that's important, because it helps other people outside of our bubble find us, but we really want your feedback, because we want more suggestions. Just like we like giving you guys recommendations and suggestions, we love receiving them. We have a few episodes coming up that are specifically from audience recommendations, because we really do listen to you. So please, you can follow us at Crime Scene on Twitter, at Crime Scene RHAP, that's SEEN, or email us at crimescenerhap@gmail.com.
Awesome. Yes. Do use those very freely. We are here and we do respond. Yeah, get us now before we blow up and we're too big to answer your DMs.
Never that.
Talking about blowing up and being too big, I'm on a Bridgerton post-show recap podcast, as Murray said. You can go there to listen to me, Sasha Joseph, and Geneva Guadalupe and Kirsten McInnes bang on about Bridgerton. We have some guests from time to time when the whole Dark Walk can't assemble. And it's all your Regency heaving bosoms and panting needs fulfilled. Yeah. And surprisingly, some people are listening without watching the show. What are you doing? Please watch the show. But if you don't, you know, I guess you could just listen to us and that could be fun. Just finished up again on post-show recaps, talking about Our Flag Means Death, the Taika Waititi, Rhys Darby pirate show. We thought it was a pirate show when we started podcasting about it, Grace Leaders, Brooklyn Zed and I. And then we found out it was gay. So,
oh my gosh,
it's
is it?
Very gay. Yes, it's totally gay. Oh,
spoiler alert, I'm only on episode 2.
Gay.
Keep going.
We've just recently dropped a very special extra episode, which was our interview with Vico Ortiz, who plays Jim on the show. I won't say any more because people have not watched it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spoil people in our plugs. No. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I do this show. Sorry, I usually plug this show on my other podcast. I was just about to plug Crime Scene. Mari, what about you? Where can people find you?
Well, I just also want to say shout out, the Bridgerton podcast seems to be like trending on iTunes, so congrats to you guys. I saw that over the weekend. You guys are being listened to, and I love it because you guys bring such great insight. As a person who read half of the books and watch the shows, I love how you guys go back and forth between the two of them, and I love listening to you guys. I was listening to you today, so I just want to give you your props for that, Sarah.
Thank you.
You can find me and Matt Scott do the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast every week, where we go over the highlights in this week wrestling. Just recently we dropped WrestleMania was last week, like the biggest, the most stupendous WrestleMania of them all happened last week. We dropped two reaction podcasts directly after each event, WrestleMania Night 1 and WrestleMania Night 2. Go check those out because those are always my favorite to record because there are live unfiltered reactions to what we just saw. And like, you know, it doesn't sink in. And then, you know, this week we'll be coming back, following it up with our recap of WrestleMania week. This week, all the fallout from WrestleMania. We will have a great guest this week. And this will be our last episode and before we go on a break. And then we'll be back in May. So just make sure you go and follow us. First, subscribe to the Wrestling Wrap Up by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to make sure you subscribe. And then go and follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And so you can get updated when we go and when we come back. Also, I am on the Atlanta podcast with our friend of the pod, LaTanya Starks, who came on and did a great episode 2 weeks ago with us. And we are doing Atlanta. Me and her were on the last, we recapped this episode, season 3, episode 3 together because Chappelle, who is our other co-host, he couldn't make it, but hopefully the whole gang will be back. And every week we will be talking about season 3 of the surreal, the fun, the very hood Atlanta. So go to postshowrecaps.com to subscribe to Atlanta. But that's it for my plugs.
Awesome.
Today.
Awesome work. I mean, I was not a wrestling person, and Mari and Scott very kindly invited me on their show some time ago. I got up at 3 a.m. here in Australia.
Talk
about this wonderful sport, performance, entertainment, whatever it's called.
Yes, all of
I mean,
the
these are athletes, right? I won't start wrestling.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But if you want to search that out in the archives, you will hear someone who knew absolutely nothing about wrestling be completely converted over the course of 3 hours and with some very beautifully selected clips from them. So I really recommend the podcast. I recommend following Mari and Matt. Now that I do, I get lots of wrestling news on my timeline, and it was really during WrestleMania Rampage that just happened, where I saw the whole thing blow up and I could follow it, and it was such a delight. There was such a delight, and I'm excited for a documentary that's coming out called Evil. Is that what it's called, Mark?
Yes. Evil? Oh yes, which is so good.
Which is about heels, which I now know mean the bad guys. And there's a very interesting little clip of a small child crying and someone saying, "Who makes children cry? I do." And I thought, oh, you're my kind of person.
Sasha Banks, the boss. Yes.
So
you got to watch that.
I'm not saying that you must subscribe to the wrestling feed, but at least try it is what I would say. At least try it. If like me, you've never given it any thought, just give it a little try. So yeah, that would be great. What's happening next?
Okay, so next time on Crime Scene, we will bring you our coverage of Elizabeth Holmes. I'm shaking my fist.
Yes!
And Theranos, as we watch, like we discussed, The Dropout with the amazing guest, Kirsten McGinnis. So, yes, let's see if Kirsten and Sarah can pull me out of my miserly affect, because we know, like I said, me and Elizabeth
Holmes. She don't like her. She don't know her. She don't like her.
So that will be so fun. Come join us as we review the whole entire series of The Dropout, all 8 episodes. So we're giving you enough time to watch all 8 episodes to hear our completely spoiler-filled episode of Crime Scene.
You got a week, people. Get on it. Yeah. So our thanks to Will from America for the theme music and Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And until next time, case closed.